We're up to Mizmor Chof. We have started Lamatzech Mizmor LeDavid Yad Hashem Yom Tzara. We just started this very briefly on Friday. We've gone through the basic introduction to this Mizmor. David wrote this one. We spent a lot of time with this actually. That when David said this Mizmor, was it David Machlekes with Rashi, the Mitzudos, the Radak, we do the Radak. When David was on the battlefield, David's life was in grave danger. The basic ideas that we presented was David fighting a battle, and David sent home a message, "I am in trouble." And the people at home prayed for him. The Mizmor, according to the Malbim, we spent time in the Malbim, was divided into three parts. The first part is when word reached the home front that David HaMelech is in danger. They said Tehillim for David should survive. When they became aware.
How did they have Tehillim? He first had to compose the Tehillim.
Don't you know that David stole everything from someone?
No, plagiarized.
He did what Bible did. No, in a this that's what really Tehillim is. The Tehillim is not all David. Many of the expressions, the Mizmorim, were said by other people, and David compiled them. David was the compiler. He was the Malachite. Really.
But the vast majority he wrote himself.
Yes, we assume that to be true. According to the Malbim, the Malbim says that these words were not said by David. David was fighting a battle. David was captured by Yishbi Binoiv. David was moments away from dying. David sent an emergency message to the home front, "My life is in grave danger." The home front sent out a kol kore, "Everyone should say Tehillim for David." What did they say? This is what they said. So David did not compose, David did not say these words. According to the Malbim, the ones that said these words was Klal Yisrael. So that means at a later point in time, David compiled. David went through the records. David brought out the Sefer HaZichronos. It says that the Jewish people, when they received word that David's life was in grave danger, they got together and they prayed. Whoever led the prayers recited these words. It does not tell us who composed these words. You are correct. There was a gathering, like there is, just like the Rachman, when there's a danger in Klal Yisrael, so they announce in Shul that we're going to say Tehillim. Someone is not well, or there's an emergency, there's a war. Everyone come together. We're going to say Tehillim. They all came together to say Tehillim. And in those days, they did not have a Sefer Tehillim. So what then did they say? There was obviously a very great person who's anonymous. We have no idea who he was. He composed this section, at least the first third of this Mizmor. He wrote it down. He gave out, they photocopied it. They gave it out to everyone. And they said these words. And they were mispal, Ya'ancha Hashem b'yom tzara yisagev Hashem elokei Yaakov. These were the words that were said by Klal Yisrael in prayer to Hashem to save David HaMelech. Then when they received word that David was saved, then they said the second part of this Mizmor. When they received, then they went into battle to wipe out the enemy that attacked David. And when they received word that the army has succeeded in eradicating, obliterating the enemy, then they said the third part of the Mizmor. So according to the Malbim is drawing from other commentators, obviously, but he's saying from his own ideas as well. He's telling us that there are three parts to this Mizmor. The first part of the Mizmor was said when David HaMelech was in danger, and he sent a desperate message to the home front, "Please help me." They sent out a SWAT team, and they at home said Tehillim. They said these expressions. Part two is when word came back to the home front that David is alive. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayon. And they said part two. Then they went into battle, and when they received word that they were successful in battle, they said part three. These are the three parts according to the Malbim. Rashi said something says something entirely different. Rashi learns that David did not go to battle. It was just the opposite. This took place at a later point in time in David's life where the people in Klal Yisrael did not allow David to go to war. Instead, they fought the battle and they told David, David, you stay home. So what does David do when he's staying home? Everyone is fighting. Everyone's life is on the line. And David is at home. What is he doing? He's saying Tehillim for them. He's praying for them. And Rashi goes to town. Rashi says that if not for, he brings out a puzzle that if not for the prayers of David at home, Yoav, his general, and his men in war would not have succeeded. And this is an incredible, we spent a lot of time with this on Friday, this incredible Musaf for Klal Yisrael, is that when we have people out on the front lines, are in very grave danger, it is our duty, the word of Mechal, is our duty to pray for them. They're fighting for us. Okay, that's what we did over here. We're going now to move on to the next Chazal. Okay, there is one Maimer Chazal. Let's do something. I didn't write down in my notes on the Likutei Shas. I put a lot of check marks next to it, so it must be important. Tezvav, quoting myself, right? I'm crazy. Pasuk page 178. Let me make a bracha, Mr. Cohen, only because of you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh Bidvarai. This is not right. Kohen should serve me. This is the Shalei Kedin. Shalei Kedin. Thank you so much. No, not Talmud Chacham. He's a Talmud Chacham.
Like went crazy when the Bachur was helping him clean up from Shalosh Shudas. He started to go around the table. He was a 19-year-old boy, but he was a Kohen. He yelled at him. He said, "Put it. Stop." He said, "You're a Kohen. I know how to do it." I mean, that's what he went and did.
Mr. Cohen, I have a lot of Krabonis I need to bring. You're gonna have to help me. you get all the meat. The Cohen does the avoid. Okay, let's go weiter. Amar Pasik Tezvav, page 178. Yehilu Ratzon Nimriv. That's what we already did. We already did that last time. That there are 18 blessings in Shemona Esrei, or 19 blessings, and then we say at the very end Yehilu Ratzon Nimriv. Fiv Hegel Vilafanach Hashem Tzuriv Goali. That and that's now that's the first Maimon Chazal. We did it. Let's now go now Pasuk Beis, where it says here Pasuk Yan Hashem Yom Tzor Yisagef Hashem Elokei Yaakov. And this is a very interesting Chazal, very very interesting. Why Yaakov? So we learned the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos told us something very interesting, and we again had a very nice discussion about this topic. But why Yaakov? Because Klal Yisrael has two enemies. Yaakov had two enemies. Who were his two enemies? Lavan and Esav. What about Yishmael? So we had this discussion. Yishmael the Shaykh to Yitzchak. That's the enemy. Yishmael was not the prime enemy of Yaakov. Yaakov had very little to do with Yishmael at face value. Yishmael was a problem to Yitzchak. Sarah saw ki that Yitzchak was mitzachik. And Rashi there tells us that he was playing bow and arrow. And just, you know, he came that close to killing Yitzchak. Yishmael did not like Yitzchak. And there were problems. Yaakov's nemesis was not Yishmael. I know, Bechol, he just stepped out right in the nick of time. He disagrees, he says, because since Yaakov, Esav married Yishmael, Vayelach Esav el Yishmael. So, being that they went to Yishmael, so there is some connection. There is a connection between Yaakov and Yishmael because Esav merged with Yishmael. And fine.
His family tree was an enemy, but not he himself.
He himself. Going further, he married Mochalas,
right.
Bas Yishmael, Mais of a similar bonim. And then there's another enemy, which really has no connection to this. Maybe we have time in the Haggadah. I will tell you some Rabbi Belsky, some incredible things from Rabbi Belsky about Lavan. Lavan, B.K. Shlakares, like all the Haggadah is devoted to Lavan. Arami Oyved Avi, B.K. Shlavan La'akares HaKoil. We give a lot of attention in the Haggadah to Lavan. Okay, there was another enemy, Lavan. So we discussed this on Friday. On Friday we discussed that Lavan represents money, the pursuit of the almighty dollar,
right.
Gashmias. Esav is religion. Esav has a vendetta against the Jewish people over our religion. It's not, as my suggestion, I'm not telling you this the pshat, But it would appear that Esav, in the study, little flavor of world history, it's not only about Esav's hatred for us, it's not only about money. There's a lot of jealousy, religious jealousy, an awareness that they lost out, as Michal explained on Friday, is that they were meant to be the Bechor. Esav was meant to be the Bechor. Esav lost the Bechor. He foolishly sold it to Yaakov. Yitzchak gave the Brachos to Yaakov. Esav never lived that down. And there's a religious vendetta that Esav. Now go a step further. That Esav was meshadech with Yishmael. What is Yishmael? Now it's very hard to define. What exactly is Yishmael? How does Yishmael come into the picture? What is his hatred all about? Take a step back. What?
It's not. Esav wants to take over the whole world. So he wants to knock off Yaakov and he wants to knock off Yishmael. That's it. Yishmael is nothing. He has to have a pretext to set Yishmael against Yaakov. But without that, without the pretext, they're not connected.
But there is still a personal hatred that Yishmael has. So this is famous Torah. Kudner talks about this, but it's not the only Mahalach. Yishmael's hatred is he has nothing. Ki goresh es ben homor hazois ki lo yirash im bini im Yitzchak. Yishmael was also rejected. You have to appreciate that there were two major rejections in Jewish history. There is Yishmael was rejected and Esav was rejected. Who was responsible for rejecting Yishmael? Sarah. We always talk about this. What did the three Imohis accomplish? We know Avraham is Chesed. Yitzchak is Avoida. Yaakov is Emes. Very nice. What about the Imohis? What was their contribution to Judaism? Sarah's contribution, all three had their contribution, was not in the positive. It was in the negative. Sarah's contribution was Goresh, Es ben ho'omo hazos, ki lo yirash im bini im Yitzchak. She got, and Avraham says, no way. Vayera hadovar me'oid b'nei Avraham al oidois b'nai. If it was up to Avraham, it would be a very different world today. A very different world. Yishmael would be part of the Am HaNifchar. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Yishmael was part of the team. And Avraham did not want him out. Vayera hadover me'oid be'enei Avraham al oidois b'noi. It was Sarah that carried the day. Goresh es ben homo hazos kilo yirash im bini im Yitzchak. Who got rid of Esav? Rivka. Rivka said, V'yata bini shma be'koli la'ashani. What's
Sarah?
No, Sarah got rid of Yishmael. Who got rid of Esav?
Rivka.
V'yata bini shma b'koli la'asher ani mitzavo
oisach. So they have money issues.
Okay, so we have over here okay? They were rejected. Esav was rejected. What did Rachel and Leah, what did they contribute to Klal Yisrael? Ki nochriyos anochnu. What was their example?
Haloi
nochriyos. Nechashavnu. Haloi nochrios nechashavnu. Yaakov couldn't just leave. Yaakov had to call his wives to a meeting, clandestine meeting in the Sodeh, okay, away from all the technology, satellites, eavesdropping to everything, no cell phones. Come meet me in the Sodeh, don't bring a cell phone with you. I don't want any eavesdropping. And Yaakov says, I want to leave. And it appears from the Psukim, it would not have been possible for Yaakov to depart unless they were on his team. Unless Rachel and Leah says, we're on your team. Oh, Shalom Aleichem. Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov. Rav Baruch made a beautiful simcha in Florida and in New Jersey. We welcome you back. And Amir Tashem, you should have only nachas and simcha by all of your children and grandchildren and by everyone here as well.
Okay.
Okay, so what about Rachel and Leah? Rachel and Leah, what do? They rejected Lavan. They rejected Lavan. Lavan had an incredible influence on Klal Yisrael. Incredible influence. And they got rid of Lavan. They got rid of him. Ouch. Each one, there are three different enemies. Cannot ignore the fact that in the Jewish people, there are three different, all our enemies fit into one of three categories. Either they're in the category of Yishmael, the category of Esav, or the category of Lavan. There are three categories. Every single time you find a person that's starting up with the Jewish people, who are you? Identify, know thine enemy. Identify the enemy. It's one of the, every enemy of Klal Yisrael is one of these three. Over here we're saying, Yisagevcha Shem Elokei Yaakov. Yaakov. Right, Mitzudeh David says an explosive idea. Who are the enemies of Yaakov? The enemies of Yaakov are two, Lavan and Esav. He omits Yishmael. Rabbi Chol is very happy about that. He's very happy to get rid of Yishmael.
Yishmael doesn't even become a factor until Islam comes in, and then it's just like Christianity.
Okay, so let's understand the difference between the three enemies. Think as Rabbi Mayevsky would say. Let's think out loud the difference. Esav and Yishmael, their problem is rooted in being rejected. But they were rejected for two very different reasons. Yishmael was rejected without him making a decision. He made no decision in this matter. The one that made it, that rejected him was Sarah. He was doing what he was doing. He was not a decision maker in his rejection. Esav is a very dangerous enemy. You know why? He decided. Esav made that decision on that fateful day after Avram Avinu died, Vayozed Yaakov Nozid, and Eis Halitaini Namin Ha'adoy Ma'adoy Ma'azeh Kayef Anoichi, Mochli Es B'choy Rascha, sell me your firstborn right. Esav made a decision on his own to be rejected. He made a decision to be rejected.
Which itself is a rejection.
Fine.
He rejected
himself. But that's a very, very big difference between Yishmael and Esav. Yishmael was rejected. Esav rejected. It's a world of a difference. You go to a psychologist, deal with issues. You know, people, they'll tell you today that whatever happens to you as an adult, it's all because of what happened to you in kindergarten. So there's a very big difference between the child in kindergarten that was thrown out of the class. He was rejected versus a child who decided, I don't want to go to kindergarten. I'm rejecting you. World of a difference in your behavior and your attitude. Now you come to Lavan. Lavan is very complicated. Lavan, you know what's complicated about Lavan? It's that he was selected and then rejected. You see, Rachel, Esav, and Yishmael, no one selected them. And no one selected, this is what you got. This is what Hashem gave you. Hashem gave Avraham a Yishmael. Sarah had to get rid of him. Hashem gave Yitzchak and Esav. Esav on his own decided, I want out. Lavan, we selected. We went to the store and we picked him out. Lavan, come, we want to buy you. Yaakov went and married his two daughters. And he lived with him for 20 years. And then after we selected, now get lost. Now we're rejecting you. That's a very big difference. Lover will say, listen, I didn't come to you. You came to me. You selected me. And then you reject me. That creates a different dynamic. Three very different dynamics in their hatred for us and their attempt to destroy us. Their attempt to destroy us because of what they have a psychological issue. They have a cause. They have a reason why they hate us. They always, why do they hate us? Why do the goyim hate us? So it's a very good question. You have to know one. And the first, before you can ask why do they hate us, you have to know who's your enemy. Who are you dealing with? Are you dealing with Esav? Are you dealing with Yishmael? Are you dealing with Lavan? Then you'll say, what about Paro? That's another category. That's another category of people, right? I guess that's another type of enemy. I'm assuming, right? There's another type of enemy called Paro. Go back to biblical times. Paro hated the Jewish people. What did he hate us for? What do we do to him? Okay, he goes back to what happened with the mice with Sarah. I don't know. But there's another category. But at least from these three, so today, you know, you think about Western civilization. We spoke about what exactly is Western civilization. There's no questions. It's definitely for sure. This we learn on Friday. It's elaborating. It's definitely a combination for sure of Yaakov and Lavan. And Esav and Lavan. Esav is religion. It's religion. There's definitely an element of religion. And Lavan is money. It's all about money, the pursuit of materialism. And it's unique. It's unique that we live in a culture where there is, without question, a synthesis of both of these concepts. So this is what it means. This is a chazar from Friday. Rashi, Mitzudas David says that the reason why we mentioned over here, Yisagev Hashem Elokei Yaakov, because obviously he is the most, when you're dealing with a tzara, b'yoyim tzara, the common tzara, for some reason, the tzara that we're focusing on over here in this mizmar does not involve Yishmael. It does not involve Paro. It involves a very specific threat, the threat of Lavan and the threat of Esav. There must be more to the story of why we have to, what the threat is. The fact that we say this every, that this mizmar is preserved for all generations, and we say it every single day, we focus on Yaakov, which brings up two major enemies, Lavan and Esav, obviously, you have to pause and understand what we're saying. Now, however, in the Maamar Chazal, which is a Gemara, it's a famous Gemara, it says something very different. Let's read it. It says, Yanecha Hashem Yom Tzra, Yisagev Hashem Elokei Yaakov, may the name of Elokei Yaakov be strengthened you. Amar Rebbe Ovin Halevi, May Dechsev Yanecha Hashem Yom Tzra, Yisagev Hashem Elokei Yaakov, may the name of the God of Yaakov, may he strengthen you. Elokei Yaakov, V'loi Elokei Avraham Yitzchak. Mikad, from here we learn, Lebal HaKoira, Kishuroitze L'taltla V'achede Messayim Oiso, Sheyikones Be'ovya, he should carry the heaviest part. He should put his shoulder underneath the thickest part of the beam. He should bear the most weight. Tachas Chelka Kaveh Shul Koira, Shehi Sheloi, Kuloimar, Yaakov, Shekol abonim shaloi v'torach b'gidulam yivakesh aleihem rachamim. Okay, this is a very deep chazal. Klal Yisrael today, who is the Bala Koira? Who is the, in other words, the marshal of you have a beam. The beam weighs 100 pounds, and you can't carry yourself. So you need to get a couple of people to help you carry the beam. Okay, we'll help you. They couldn't kill us, not their beam. They're doing you a favor, they're coming along. They'll spend 5 minutes and lift heavily with the bubble. Because it's your beam, you care. And because you care, you want to make sure that it gets done. And therefore you, the owner of the beam, you make sure that you put your weight, you carry the bulk of the weight of the beam to make sure the job gets done. We have three of us, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we got a problem. We have a problem. We need someone to come to our salvation. Who cares about us the most that it, they're called the Baal HaKoira, Yaakov, not Avraham and not Yitzchak. Isn't that shocking? Isn't that a shocking thing to say? That Yaakov, that's exactly what it says. This Chazal is not playing with us. It's Yaakov Avinu, it's his, the Shiftei Kah, the 12 tribes are his, he raised them, and he cares the most, basically. He's saying that he cares the most. It means when Klal Yisrael is in a matzav of tzara, the one who feels the most pain is Yaakov. He is called the Baal HaKoira. Now this is contradicted with what it says in another very famous Chazal, where I don't remember where it is because I didn't prepare too well. And that is that it's the coming Yimos HaMashiach, and Hashem is going to look at the Jewish people and Hashem is saying, you know what? It's not Kedai to save them. And Elio, I don't remember exactly who the Avos are informed about our difficulty. And Avraham comes to Hashem and is mispalel, and Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Let me show you the facts. There are various. So Avraham says, yeah, you know, you're right, Hashem. You're right. Let them get what they deserve. And then Yaakov, okay, our Yaakov, right, he comes and he presents himself and he says, Hashem, you know, you can't do this. And what happens? Hashem says, Hashem shows Yaakov all of Averos, and Yaakov says, wow, is that bad? You know what? You're right, Hashem. Do whatever you need to do. And then Yitzchak comes, and Yitzchak is shown the data. And Yitzchak says to Hashem, Chatzi olai v'chatzi olecha. In fact, some say that's why you do yachatz. There are three matzahs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and you break the middle matzah to the whole Seder is a bakosha to bring the geula, and in many dimensions. And when you break the middle matzah, you are reenacting Yitzchak Avinu's plea to Hashem to bring the geula. And when Hashem says they're not deserving, so Yitzchak says to Hashem, no, what's so terrible? Chatzi olai v'chatzi olecha. I'll take responsibility for half of their sins, and you forgive them for the other half. And then Hashem quotes a pasuk that there's no chokhmah in the elder and there's no wisdom in the youngster. And it's only basically Yitzchak. Who's the elder is Avraham, and the younger is Yaakov. And they did not come to the rescue. The only one that was Moiser Nefesh for the Jewish people was Yitzchak. And then the Jewish people would say to Yitzchak, Avinu Ata, you are our father to Yitzchak. Now, this is a very famous message. I'm sure you all heard this message many times. And it's very esoteric, obviously. But there's a glaring discrepancy between that Maimon Chazal and what we've just read in the Gemara Masech the Brachos that says that Yaakov Avinu is the Baal HaKoira. He is the owner. And he is the one that we supplicate in his merit, Yisagevcha, Shem Elokei Yaakov, not Yitzchak. And as this Chazal says, Yaakov Avinu, he is the one who's the Baal HaKoira. He should come and carry the weight of the beam, meaning us, our problems. Kolaymar Yaakov Shekol Habonim Shaloi V'Torach B'Gidulam Yivakesh Aleihem Racham. So how do we reconcile these two? How do we reconcile these two Mamori Chazal? Okay, I want to let you think about it.
Well,
it's a tough steer.
Maybe. I don't know. Just thinking about it. Avram said, Tamai Didaki Erishana. What if my descendants mess up? Yaakov also worried about the same thing with the ladder. Well, how do I know? You know, also, he was afraid. I don't know if we have any of that in Yitzchak. I don't know if we have any expressed doubts by Yitzchak.
And what do you say about Yaakov? What did Yaakov say?
At the Sulam.
So we have.
Bamo
Eda Ki Yerushalayim.
Like the Midrash says, he didn't.
Going up and down.
He didn't want to go up.
Okay. You're just making the question more difficult. Okay, I hear.
Why Yitzchak?
There's a steer over here. Who cares the most about Klal Yisrael? Who's the one who cares? So over here, this Chazal says, Yisagev Hashem Elokei Yaakov. And the other famous Chazal says that it's going to be Yitzchak, and we're going to come Avinu Ata. I've got the pasuk by heart. There's no chachma by the sove, by the elder, and there's no wisdom by the youngster. That refers to.
I don't know where it is, but I've seen it.
And it's only Yitzchak. Yitzchak says chatzi olai v'chatzi olecha. So obviously there are different dimensions to our needs. In this example, we are coming to make demands. When we come to make demands, this it appears maybe to me from our perspective. From our perspective, when we look to somebody to save us, we approach Yaakov. In that Maimon Chazal, we're not going to anyone. They're coming on their own to the rescue. They are made aware. They are being made aware of what is taking place. And they are their own. The initiation is not coming from us. It's from their perspective. The difference between, it appears, this is the most fundamental difference between these two Maimon Chazal. From who is taking the initiative? In this Chazal, we are taking the initiative. When we look for help, who do we look to? We look to Yaakov first. In that Chazal, we're not coming to them. They're being made aware of what's going on in this world. And they step up to the plate. Then the one that on his own, without being asked, will come forward more than anyone else is Yitzchak. Why is that so? What is it about Yitzchak? What is it about Yitzchak more than Yaakov? I don't know. This is a very, very difficult concepts. This touches upon a person's, the very depths of a person's emotions and feelings, accomplishments. All right, we'll leave with that. Let's now go. The next one, another form. Let's go now go to the next pasuk. Let's try to move ahead a little. We have time. We'll come back and do other things. Yeah.
I think, right, Titan Emes Yaakov, is that Amos or Micha? I forgot which one. Titan Emes Yaakov, Chesed Avraham, where is Yitzhak in that passage? It doesn't mention it.
Yeah.
He says, because he suffered the most, because at least by Avraham, Yishmael the Tshuva.
Yeah.
Yaakov is Shiftei Kof. But the Yitzhak, his son Esau, was lost. And that was the greatest part of, you know, he took the brunt of all the problems, because Esau was our biggest sorrow for Klal Yisrael. This is the Avraham Avinu makes a whole drasha on that, a long speech about that Yitzhak is just left. How come he's not mentioned? Why leave out Yitzhak? Because God told him, I'm sorry to tell you that, you know, that's it. You're taking the brunt of everything, because, you know. But still, in all, the beginning of Ahira, when it says Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lehem, it says Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, neither one had any complaints. In other words, everybody took it on the chin without saying why. They all took it without complaining, you know, as opposed to the Yoz Basil Paro that Moshe said.
What do you mean?
No, I mean that's what that neither one had any complaints to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They took it like a man, so to speak. They didn't question God's judgment in any way, shape, or form.
They
took it. They, you know,
okay.
They didn't say, well, I don't deserve it, or why. And that's why he gets into a whole long speech about that Avraham is not saying, Bamoy dati rochena, that's not what it means. You know, like, he's not really questioning, like, why, or things like that. And Yaakov, of course, never questioned. He just was hoping that it wouldn't be, but God said, you know, you'll say if you're just your double and F, you're going to go down. You didn't want to go. Yitzhak, of course, never said anything, but we're not told much about Yitzhak's life at all. He's the least of the
others. Right, he's very mysterious.
Don't know anything about
him. Very mysterious, Yitzhak.
Because
okay,
he
let's.
Was just
yeah.
So, he was, you know, he made no decisions.
Nechva ben Akelim.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Let's go to pasuk page 180. We have the pasuk Gimel Yishlach Ezrucha Mikodesh Mitzion Yisodeko. Over here, a little like the Malbim, either David saying this or the Klal Yisrael is saying this. May Hashem send His salvation Mikodesh from a holy place Umitzion from Tzion Yisodeko. May He support you. In other words, when the salvation comes, it's very important. The salvation comes from a source of holiness. If the salvation comes from a source of contamination, then even though in the short term it will not, you may be successful, in the long term it's not going to be to your benefit. This pasuk is a very powerful pasuk. Before we've seen the farshim in fundraising and in many different areas, where did you get the money from? Where did this money come from? If you have to pay the bills and you need help. We need help to pay the bills. We have to pay the rebbeim. We have to pay the utility bills, the teachers, buy food. Oh, we can steal money. We found this legal loophole unethical loophole to steal money from the government. They'll never find out about it. They'll never know. We'll go and we'll pull all the shtick. Or, you know what, we have money. We know this is money laundering. This came from the person's giving us money. He made the money from drugs. He made the money from, you know, some of the biggest lowlifes in Hollywood who do engage in some of the most woke activities. And I'm a farsim in the world, things that are mamish, kineged, kol hatarakula, and they have big, big bucks, and they want some type of redemption for their life, and they give us a lot of money. Ah, we now have millions of dollars in the bank, we can pay all the bills, give the Rebbeim bonuses for Pesach, and buy some new svarim, and paint the yeshiva. Very nice. Comes the end of the year, beautiful yeshiva, everything is very, very beautiful. In the long term, do you really think that if you have an institution of that's built upon the principles of Yiras Shemayim, this type of money is going to be going to produce kedusha? That the students that come from this yeshiva are going to be successful in being melamei Torah la'amo Yisrael? No way. No way. Yishlach Ezrucha, may Hashem send your help, mikodesh, from a source of holiness. Where did the money come from? Who paid for this? A gangster? The mafia? Hollywood? People who engage in terrible, terrible things, they went, they send you a big donation. That's what you're using to pay the Rebbeim, who are teaching the little children Kedusha? Yeah, in the short term, the bills are paid. You'll be listed as being from the best yeshivas. But at the end of the day, nothing will come from this. Go look at history. Go through history. There were many, many Torah institutions that were amazing, were incredibly, incredibly successful, and today no one even heard of them. No one remembers them. No one remembers certain institutions. Who's to say? Who's to say? Who's to say? No one knows anything. No one, but you know, sometimes you get a certain hergish, and you can't prove anything. No one knows the way it works upstairs in Shemayim. But Chazal say this over and over: Yishlach Ezrucha miKodesh uMitzion Yisadech from Tzion. Tzion means from obviously a place of holiness, of ruchnius. May come your support. Your support may it come from there. Now listen, if I was in their shoes, I was sitting in an office in a yeshiva as an administrator and was desperate to pay the Rebbeim, believe me, I'm the first guy that would take whatever I can get, right? So who am I to open up my mouth, right?
Yeshivas actually investigate the people who donate
money for them? No, definitely not. They definitely do not. But let's say they actually know. They don't investigate, no, but let's say they actually know, or let's say they actually seek it out. You know how desperate they are? You know how desperate it is to raise money to pay the bills? It's
when non-from people give money to Moises, which they do.
Of course. What's wrong with that? It's the honest money. Honest money, of course. What's wrong
but
with that? So what?
So where do you draw the line over here? Maybe people should draw the line over there.
You're right. There is no line to draw because every situation is different and every gadol b'Yisrael has a different approach. Okay, there was a certain person who was a multi-billionaire from pornography, very famous person,
yeah,
and he gave an enormous amount of money to Tzedakah, and not everyone wanted to take it. It would have solved all your problems, and some people they couldn't wait. They brought their trucks with shovels to take all the money they can get, and adarabah. We are sanctifying the money. We metahir the money. We're purifying the money by using the money to go teach Torah. And other people felt.
Eston Zayner is only by carbon.
You're right. You technically speaking, you cannot say you're wrong. No one can ever say about this that it's wrong, unless it's Gezel. That's all. Even that you'll say it's
wrong. No, Gezel.
But.
But a person
who has a certain sensitivity cannot tolerate that you have these innocent little children.
Right, if there comes some war, global cooling, you don't want to take that guy's money, right?
Global what?
It's global warming.
Wait.
What does global warming have to do with this? What are you talking about? You deal people earn money many different ways. There are people who earn money many different ways. And you know as a fact this money is coming from a certain source. Technically, it's mutter. This yeyosh, this shinim mokrim, shinim maisa, nazoin, nazoin, nazoin.
More likely there was
Chil
Shabbos involved.
Chil Shabbos by Jews, Chil Shabbos. Yeah. But everything, at the end of the day, everything is kosher because once it comes money, it becomes something that's not tangible. It's not tangible. It's milveloid sandidna, and the money is being spent. So technically speaking,
it's laundering.
Yeah, laundering. Yeah.
Technically speaking, it's mutter. It's mutter. But you know something? In the world of Ruchnius, it's unsettling. So some people, they look at you like you're from Mars. You're crazy. What do you mean? Who cares? Money is money. You got to pay the bills. Don't be so religious. You're right. There's no such thing as no such thing. Every time you need donations, a person gives money, there's always going to be an element of, what are you crazy? Everything has to be pure. We don't live in a world that's pure. We live in a world that it is what it is. Don't go be mashuga. 100%. But sometimes you get a sense you're crossing the line. Okay? I'm not even going to talk about people who go and steal. Let's say you have a yeshiva and they engage in getting grants from the government that are totally, totally illegal. They do the paperwork. They do the paperwork. The money comes in. No, you know, somehow we're able to legitimize in our minds that we did nothing. The government's not coming to ask us any questions. The government's giving us the money, and if we'll come, we'll ask questions. We'll get a lawyer. We'll get a lawyer, and the lawyer will be able we'll get a very sophisticated lawyer, will be able to go and, you know, get out of it. We'll take the risk, and if we get into trouble, we'll be able to figure a solution to minimize the Chilul Hashem. In the meantime, look at this. We're paying all the Rebbeim. Everyone's getting a bonus for Pesach. Did you do anything wrong? Listen, the government gives billions of dollars for foreign aid, for people all over the world to promote woke mishagasim. So if they can give billions of dollars to promote wokeism, what's so terrible? We take a couple of thousand dollars to go pay the Rebbeim. To pay the Rebbeim some bonuses. We're doing more for America. We bring some morality into America. You can legitimize everything the whole day. There's no end to how much.
You can rationalize
everything. The bottom line is, it's Gezer. Do you really think you're going to have Siyata Deshnaya by taking money that's not holy? Even though it's mutter. Technically it's mutter. And you have no choice. That's life. But do you really think? Who are you fooling? The pasuk says, Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh, from a source of holiness. Umi Tzion, from Tzion, Mehi Yisodeka, may come your support. So you'll tell me every yeshiva should close down. Right? Close down. You know what? Maybe that's not true. I mean, the standards that we have for ourselves, the high living, and myself included, is beyond belief. Beyond belief. We did this to ourselves, not overnight. This took a generation to do. It took a generation to dig a hole that we're in now. To be able to maintain a certain lifestyle that is thoroughly unsustainable. The only way we're able to do this is because we engage and we take money from all different types of sources which we're not comfortable. That's the way it is, right? But l'may nafkamina. Going forward, there's an appreciation. Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh Umitzion Yisodeka. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? What's everyone going to do? That's the way we live in this world. What can we do about it?
It says,
look, you hear a story of that person. Like, you know, it's very hard to hear a story about you go to a shul. The shul is magnificent. Who paid for the shul? Oh, the guy sitting in jail. The tax fraud. And he paid for the shul. What do you say to that? Is that normal? What's wrong?
Normal,
You can really expect that this makor my tefillah is going to go to Shemayim? With all your kavanas, is that really correct? The person who paid for the shul is sitting in jail. Could be.
That's what I thought. The Babich Rebbe refused. He told him, I don't want any money from nursing homes.
I don't know. I'm not going to go call names. I'm not going to go. You said Lubavitch. Lubavitch. Okay, listen. Enough said.
I know one moisid where they had a rule that they were not allowed to honor somebody who was intermarried. So this person they wanted to honor, he was married to Shikta. The minute he divorced his wife, they honored him.
Okay, listen.
Maybe he divorced her because they
I'm not being critical because I would be a lot worse with these misyoinis. Infinitely worse. But it's a sad state of affairs when you read a pasuk like this. This is also Chazal. It says La Chashoyv Ma Chashoves. It says by Bezalel and Moshe when they built the Mishkan. It says La Chashoyv Ma Chashoves. Every single person came with a donation. Bezalel had Chochma to look at the person, to look at him, to look at the money. Where did you get this from? This gold, and why are you giving it? You're giving it because you want cover it, or you're giving it because you're giving it L'shem Shemayim. Bezalel was able to read people's minds and to have an appreciation of where number one is the money coming from, and number two, what's your intent? And gold or silver that was pure, that ended up in the Kruvin, the Kodesh HaKodoshim, and the money that was, not so ayayay, that ended up somewhere else. That went into a different account to buy whatever. If it's kosher money, whatever it is. But not everything is the same, and this is something that we yearn for, and we say this every single day when we daven. Pasuk in the Mitzvah is daven. The pasuk says, Mikodesh, Mimikoyim Kodshoyhu Beis HaMikdash, Shehu Mikoyim Hashchina U'Misham Bocho Ezer. The Beis HaMikdash is a very interesting Mitzvah daven. The Mitzvah daven says that when a person needs help, you know where the help comes from? What does this mean exactly? It's the channel, the Shefa of Brocha, comes down to the world from Hashem through the Beis HaMikdash. From there it goes to the entire world.
Right.
This is really coming to tell us why we go to the Kosel. Why we go to the Beis HaMikdash to be mispalel to the Beis HaMikdash. It's getting to the closest to the source. As close as you can get to the Makor. Umitzioin, kofal adam b'milo shoynes. Let's see Rashi mikodesh, mehechel kodsho shu shoychen sham. Fine, let's do a few psukim very quickly and we'll discuss some things. Pasek dalet, yizkar kol min choysecha. May Hashem remember all of your meal offerings, your gifts, the oilascha, and your animal sacrifices. Yeda shene sela. May lishon deshen. Okay, deshen means ashes. May these sacrifices, which have been offered and have been turned, convert into ash. May Kadosh Baruch Hu remember them. The word yizkar is going on the deshen. Yidash is a very hard translation to be precise. Let's see the Mitzvah David. Yizkar. Yiyu zichudim lefanecha amenachas asher yivesev. Yidash nesela. Ad oilam forever. Sela means forever. Yikubal. May it be accepted. Oy lo secha. Your sacrifice, your oil offering. Biratzoin, with will. V'soichleim ho'esh. May the fire consume them, v'yosu deshen, and may they turn into ash. And what in the world does this mean? But first of all, this alludes to an interesting concept, and that is, this is a medrash, so this is the oitze pala'ois. When a person brought a karbon, very scary, these are very scary concepts, when Klal Yisrael was living in a very high level. You bring a person, he's mechal rachmana litzlan, he's mechal Shabbos. Oyvei, b'shoigei, terrible, unbelievable. Mechal Shabbos b'shoigeg, I just totally forgot. A person in the Malacha, he didn't know it's Aser. All right, what do? You get on El Al, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you want to bring a carbon.
Not a Shabbos.
Okay, now, of course, you come to Eretz Yisrael, you buy an animal, you bring the money, bring the carbon, you go to the Kohen, they prep you, then you do Teshuvah, they give you Musar, and they prepare you. It's a very complex process to bring a carbon. Fine, you bring the carbon, the Kohen shechts it, he takes the blood, Makabal the Dam, he goes to the Mizbeach, he does the applications, the Chatos, the four applications. He then takes the Emurim, the fats, the Emurim, and he goes up to the Mizbeach and he puts it onto the fire. And then he looks and he watches it burn. It's like beer chametz. And if the smoke, column of smoke, does not go up straight, he says to the person, guess what? Hashem rejected your karma. Rejection. It's like getting taking car for an inspection. $37. Pass or fail. Makes no difference. Pass or fail. $37. Pass or fail. And then if you pass, they say, you get the receipt. The receipt says, congratulations. You have passed inspection. Congratulations. So the coin comes down from the mizrach and he says to the person, I have bad news to tell you. You failed. You did not pass inspection. I brought your carbon on the mizbeach, and guess what? The smoke did not go up in a straight column for your carbon. And you know what that means? It means Hashem has rejected your carbon. And what do you do now? I don't think you bring another carbon, right? You can't bring another carbon. He already brought, but basically, you're in trouble. You wasted all of our time. You're a phony. You came here to bring a carbon. You were not sincere. You did not do teshuva properly. And you just thought you're going to make a big fat animal and you're going to brag to all your friends that you brought a carbon. I want to let you know, for the record, Hashem did not accept your carbon. You're in worse shape off now than you were before. Because now you did an aveira and now you don't even have an opportunity to bring a carbon anymore. Because once you brought one carbon, there's nothing more for you to do. Here, David is being mispalel, or the oilascha. Now, part of it turning into smoke, it's part of the same concept, is when you burn the meat on the mizbeach, if it does not turn into ash, it just doesn't go. Doesn't go well, doesn't burn well. The smoke doesn't go, doesn't burn well. It means it's been rejected. It's like mechiras chametz. When you burn your chametz, when you walk around on Pesach and you pass the places where they burn the chametz, what do you see there? You see a lot of chametz, a lot of garbage, and a lot of chametz. You see some bagels, some bread, some Cheerios. Wait a minute. Didn't they burn the chametz here yesterday, Erev Pesach? I guess not. They just threw it into the pile, and no one really paid attention to burn it. And here it all is. It's here lying in the pile. New? In other words, you have failed in the mitzvah of biur chametz. It's the same thing with the carbon. If your carbon does not turn into ash, it's more supernatural, it means it was bahashkocha, that your carbon was not burnt. You know why? Because Hashem doesn't want it. Hashem has shown you that He is rejecting your carbon. Here, when you give a blessing to a person, yizkor kol minchoisecha, may Hashem remember your minochis, v'yolascha, and may it be that your offerings, yidashaneh, may every time for the rest of your life you wish to bring Hashem a carbon oila, may Hashem accept it. And the sign, the simon, to recognize that Hashem has accepted your carbon is to witness the carbon turn into ash. It should turn into deshen. Deshen is ash. It says by what do we have regarding the Yitzchak Avinu, the Akedah, Ephroi shel Yitzchak. Ephroi shel the Ephroi shel Yitzchak tzavur lefanav. It is piled before him. Isn't that what it says over here? The oilascha, your carbon oila, yidashne, it should turn into deshen. And Hashem, go back to the beginning of the pasuk, Yizkar. This is exactly what happened with regard to the Akedah. Kachna es bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta es Yitzchak v'lech l'chol eretz hamoria v'ha'aleihu sham le'oila. And what happened at the end? Avraham wanted to bring Yitzchak. He couldn't. The Malach says, Al Tishlach Yadcha. So instead, he brought a replacement. He brought the ayil. Vayisa ina vayarvi hine ayil. He brought the ayil. After he brought the ayil, Hashem accepted the ayil. How do you know that Hashem accepted the ayil? Because the ayil turned into Afer. It turned into ash. And that ash, Chazal say, is tzavur lefanav, is piled before Hashem, and on the Yom HaZikaron, Okay, that's on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, some say that the Akeid took place on Yom Kippur, some say Rosh Hashanah is on Yom Kippur, and the Eifer is piled before him, and Hashem sees it. Hashem sees that ish before him the whole time. Isn't that exactly what it says here in this pasuk? Yiskar kol mincha yisecha v'yoylascha. The word Yiskar goes back on, and may Hashem also remember v'yoylascha yidashne. Yidashne, well, over here yidashne is in the future. When there's a yud before a word, usually it connotes the future. Yidashne, may it turn into ash. And when Hashem sees that ash, may Hashem remember it. And this should repeat itself forever. Selah. Powerful pasuk. Rashi, the Maslow pasuk, Mikodesh Minchosev, Los Rachem, Atfilos Shatah, Mispalim, Bimulchama, Yidashne. Rashi is an entirely different interpretation. He does not learn the word desh, and the word Yidashne means ash, but rather it means fat. It means a doshain. Doshain means fatness. A fatty piece of meat or a piece of fruit or some item which is fatty. The Olascha, and this refers to what? To prayer. These are metaphors for prayer, Rashi says. Hey matafilo shatah mispalalim bamulchama. Yidashene sela lashain shuman. You'll eat this sova, you'll be satisfied, vidoshein, and gain a lot of weight. And go to the doctor and say, Doc, what happened to you and your diet? Vidoshein, over here it means eat to be satisfied, vidoshein, kloimar, yikablem, birotsoin, ke oilois, mechim. What does mechim mean? Mechim means, I think, fat. I think the word mechim means, is that correct? Oilois meichim, it means fat oilois. So there's going to be may Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'yolascha yidashne. It may. So how do we really translate here in this word according to Rashi? Lashon shuman k'mo v'yachel v'sava v'doshein. Okay, kolim yikabli b'rotzim k'oilois like oilois meichim. It's not obviously it's not even taken literally the pasuk. V'yolascha yidashne sela. Because the yud is very, you would think it means that the oilus which are fat, but that's not what it means. Like, because here it says the yidashene kiloimar. Rashi is telling us the pasuk is not to be translated literally. Because whenever Rashi says the word kiloimar always means it's not a little translation. And instead, what it means over here is that may HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept your supplication as if you offered him a fat animal. Wow, how about the yud and the dalid? I guess it's a form of writing, but that is that's what it means. What does it say over here in the targum? Yidkar kul hoin do ron yosoch. May Hashem remember all of your gifts. Va'a lovoscha yikarben oila yidahanon. Yidahanan should be, I don't know what that word means. Yidahanan, does that mean ash? I don't know. I have to really get back to the Targum. Yidahanan le'olmin should be burnt. I think it means deshen, like what it says in the Mitzudas. We have to go back to that maybe. All right, let's go to another pasuk. Yitin l'chach l'vech v'ekadosh baruch hu. This is a very beautiful pasuk. A very beautiful, over here, this mizmor, three different types of requests. May Hashem grant you chil vavecha. That's number one. Number two, v'chol atzosicha, all of your ideas, yimalei. Next pasuk, niranana bishuasech, may we sing in your salvation. V'shem elokim nidgol. Nidgol means great, elevated. Dogul, like a flag. A flag is raised very high. In the name of our Kedem Nidgol, may we be elevated. And then it says, Yimalei Hashem kol mish'aloisach. Your requests. Three things. Okay, these two took them together, open up a world of commentary. There are three different items presented here. There's an Eitzah. There is Chil Vavecha, what your heart desires. There is Atzosecha, an Eitzah. And then there is a nish aloisecha she'ela. What is the difference between of your heart, what's in your heart, your atzosecha, your eitzah, and your request. What is the difference? What's the difference? So the difference is, there are many people we should look at, but one is, there are certain things that your ideas, person has great satisfaction, that's the Eitzah. That's the...
Could it be like plans?
Your plans, right. The person has goals. The person has very enormous satisfaction when his plans come to fruition. Person has an idea. Person is an architect. You're an architect. And you drew up the plans. You go through the work of making plans. There's an incredible satisfaction that what you designed is built. Even though many times what you design turns out to be no good. Because in your mind, with all of your professional experience, these plans is perfect. But you know what happens many times? You build something, and then you realize, you know, we made a mistake, we put the beams in the wrong place. Okay, you put the beams, you do a critique 20 years later. Take any institution who built, anyone who built an institution, guaranteed, all these beautiful buildings that have been built in this community, this neighborhood, in the last 30 years, okay, even this shul, people who designed this shul, whenever they built this extension here, they built this extension of how many, 20 years ago at least, this whole extension. Go back now and ask them, now that it's been 25 years since you built this, what would you have done different? Go to Chaim Berlin, they built the building about 30 years ago. What would you have done different? Go to Chofetz Chaim, they built a magnificent building, Chofetz Chaim, Landers College, a magnificent Beis Medrash in Queens. They built a whole campus, in fact. Who knows how much that would cost. Now that it's been 20 years, what would you have done different? So that is Chilvavecha. That what you really want, but unfortunately, you don't know it. You don't realize it because it's not in your conscience. It's in your mind. You have a vision. You want to achieve a certain result, but your consciousness is limited to present in words, on paper, something that's much less than what you really need. And then there are things, Mishalei Secha, that I'm not even going to ask for this because this is beyond my resources. These are things that are the next level, which is not for right now. I'm only planning building a 3-story building. I don't have a sagas to build a 10-story building because the zoning does not permit it. But if we could go build 10 stories, we had the money, we had the ability, that would be amazing. So there are three things. There is chilvavecha, what you really, really want deep down inside that you don't even know about. And then the chol atzosicha is, this is my plans. Most people, they have plans. 99% of the population has plans and they never achieve their plans. And then there's mishalosecha, things that are above. Not now, that'll be next. When we'll do this, then we'll go to the next level. Here, David is being mispala. Hashem should give you everything. Hashem should make the project come out perfect. And Hashem should give you the satisfaction that it was your plan. That what really needs to be done, Hashem should put those machshavas into your mind that it should be considered your plans. So you have the satisfaction, look what I designed. I designed this and look what came out. Even though the truth is you did nothing. Hashem did everything for you. And not only that, the results should be far beyond your wildest expectations. This chilvavecha, that you really, really want deep down inside, but you are unable to express. That which you really want deep down inside should come true. Atzosicha is an incredible bracha that Hashem, you should have the satisfaction that what you really, really want deep down inside should come through, that it should percolate to where it goes into your mind and you're able to actually express it intellectually so that when it comes true, you will have the satisfaction that what I wanted to do, I achieved. There's no greater satisfaction in life when you have a plan. We combined.
Sometimes the mishalot libeinu are not right. So Hashem will
exactly litoiva. So exactly, over here, there are two, over here in the Farshim actually talk about that. Over here in the Farshim, they talk, they delve in a different way, where they take note that over here it's broken into two different things. Yitein lecha chil vavecha, period. And then at the end it says, Yimalei Hashem kol mishalosecha. So but we say, in our vernacular, Yimalei Hashem kol mishalos libecha. We combine the two together, letoif. Because then it takes off a whole different meaning. We combine the two. But what do you learn? What do you learn by combining the two together? Why do you have mishalos libcha? It's really the ultimate. The ultimate is it's chil vavecha, what you really want deep down inside, and it should be beyond your wildest expectations, more than you expect. But you have to make sure it's going to be l'toiva. That's you combine the beginning and the end. What about the eitza? That's interesting that we're leaving out the eights and now the blessing that we have made. All right, let's look at the inside. These children have to stop. Let's just do the Mesuzah and Rashi. I want to go and do the house of my God today. Let's go back to Pasuk 1, page 1, in the bottom. Yizkar. We did already Pasuk K. Pasuk K in the Mitzvah is David, Chilvavecha, Ketavas, Lavavcha, the Zoy Yimale, Yizkaimu, Atzazcha, may be fulfilled your plans. Yeshua Secha, Bavor HaTeshua, Haba'a, Lucha Kulonu, Niranana. In, due to the success that will result, we will sing. L'vashem be'Israel elokah nelcha. We will go b'digolim la'milchama. Very interesting. Over here, he takes the word nidgol. Nidgol means exalted, but in Russian degel. Degel machane Yehuda. Degel machane Reuven. Degel means a flag. So he writes over here, v'shem lochem nidgol, that we're going to walk with flags. Be'ezer elokah, with salvation. Nelcha, we will go b'digolim. We will go with the golim la milchama. Like you look at you, that is very interesting, because you know something in modern warfare, you always hear these stories about the IDF and even the United States of America. They even showed this recently. They showed some scandals. They show where they, you know, you look at an airplane right away. You see what's called the decal. Is that what it's called? On the airplane, you see Air Force United. You see the flag of the United States. You see the IDF, you see the Israeli flag. And then almost more often than not, when they go on a mission, a stealth mission, they take it off. They scrub it off before the plane takes off on its mission. So just in case they get caught, they should be able to deny. They had recently in Afghanistan, there was a, you know, read this, you Baruch Hashem, you don't waste your time on this. But they had, when the United States left Afghanistan and they gave up the whole country to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, so they showed there were certain missions they did which were not in the interest of which were very strange, and they thought they took off the decal off the American planes. And then they showed some details in these pictures where even though they did take off most of the decals, there were certain things they forgot to take off of the plane, which was a giveaway that this was from the United States of America. And it was very embarrassing, because it wasn't supposed to be their plane in that place at that time. And the Israelis do the same thing every single day. So look what it says over here in this passage. When you waste your time on reading this Narishkeit, which is absolutely a total waste of time, has no benefit at all. But when you learn about how when they go to war, everything is done in secret. You know, what about having some pride?
Not so secret.
Having some pride in doing the right thing.
I think when they bombed the nuclear thing, they showed the flag.
They showed. You want to show? Yeah, there's a certain type of war. You have to go to West Point. When it's the right thing to do, and you want to make a statement to the world that what we're doing is correct, it is morally just, and we're proud to be the ones. We're proud to be the ones that are engaging in this activity to set a rule, make it right. then you go Adarabba, full glory with your flag.
Right.
That's exactly what it says. Uveshem be'ezer eloka nelcha bidigolim la milchama. You go out to war with your flag. We're not embarrassed. We're not. It's not a shame for us to have to do this thing. We want to do this with our flag. We want to show that this is what we're doing. The Hashem Yimali Sheiloschaki Niskaber Mamilchama, we will prevail in war. Rashi, Pasik, Avav, Nirana Bishwasecha, Kishe Yoshia, Yitzchak, Lishmachu, Nirana Kulon, Lakashmachu, Uvishmo, and his name Nidgol Nisasev. A different interpretation. Nisasev, Vinasech, Chayil, become an army. And this touches upon a very big machlokes rishonim. We actually learned this when we did in the afternoon. We learned Chumash Rashi Unkelus. We actually learned this, the machlokes. What exactly is a degel? Degel Machane Yehuda.
Right.
So we're taught in kindergarten it means a flag. A flag, what kind of flags? So they have numerous banner, different Maamar Chazal. Some say that they had images. Like a beautiful, and they go to a shul, the stained glass windows, they have images for each one of the shvatim. Some say that's exactly what it was. They had flags with colors, and
right.
They had images.
Like
images.
Right.
Others say no images. No images. It was just a color. Some say it wasn't even that. It was just
the name,
words.
The name.
Letters, or they spelled out their name, but no images. No colors, very plain, just a flag with a letter or with a word, Ruvein, Shimon. And then there's a whole collection of Rishon that say that the word Degel is nothing physical. Degel means nothing more than an arrangement. It's nothing more than a battalion, an arrangement. Degel Machane Yehuda. It's all it means. There's an arrangement. And they cite sources as to how you see the word Degel means an arrangement. It's not like in the movies. There was no one holding any flags. There are no flags. All it says, and that's exactly what Rashi here says, Uvishmoy and Vishem Elokeinu Nidgol. We will gather. It does not mean a flag. Like in the Mitzvah stuff, it says, we will march to war holding proud our flag.
Well, that's, I don't see the contradiction there. Because when you're in formation,
yes,
right, you can have
a banner
go with the formation.
The Mitzudos David clearly takes the word nidgol to literally mean a flag, a piece of cloth that has a symbol upon it.
It doesn't preclude the assembly.
Okay, it doesn't include, but he's telling you what the literal word of the word nidgol means, and he incorporates that into his pshat. Rashi avoids that. Rashi says to gather. What does that mean? Rashi translates nis asef, to gather together. The word nidgol means to gather, and form an army. But it does not say that there is a piece of cloth with a symbol upon it.
What does dogol mirvava mean?
So that's the part of the question. What does it mean there?
Not to mention, we're going to say that there's
going to be many interpretations. We are taught, everyone is taught in kindergarten, it means a flag. It means a piece of cloth that I can bring to you many Mamari Chazal. The Oitz HaPlois tells you all in Mefarshim what kind of cloth was it made of, what color was it made of, what symbol was on it, what name on it. There's numerous Mamari Chazal that mean that it was a flag, a piece of cloth, exactly a piece of cloth. But there's also a collection of Mefarshim that thoroughly disagree. We shine in that disagree. This is what it means, a flag. It means an assembly. An assembly. Was there a flag? Maybe there was a flag. We're not discussing. We're learning pshat in the pasuk. Is the meaning of the word degel mean a piece of cloth with a color and a symbol, or is a degel an assembly? No, it might very well be that the assembly, they had a flag. Who's starting having a flag? But it's not the literal meaning of the word. And you see it over here on this page over here, a machlekes between Rashi and the Mitzudos as to the literal meaning of the word degel. Okay.
You know something? But when David went to fight Goliath, he said, Ata ba elai de cherebu ba chamit, ואני בא אליך בשם השם אלוהי צבאות אשר חרבת. So it's not a דגל, physical דגל, but it's a spiritual דגל. שם השם is not a דגל. How can you put שם השם on the דגל? So it's not an actual דגל, it's something spiritual.
Okay.
אני בא אליך בשם השם אלוהי צבאות.
Okay.
He says.
That's a very nice idea. Okay. That's okay. He's what he's saying. There's a different shot. That is not. There is that he's saying that it's a flag. It is a flag, but it's a spiritual flag. Mitsuda says it's something physical. Rashi says it means to gather. You're saying that it means a flag, but it means a spiritual flag. It's a mission. Okay. We'll take a short break and we'll learn some Haggadah. We want to spend some time today on the Haggadah.